It is our joy to welcome you in our midst, Father Carl.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I invite you to close your eyes for a few moments. Closing your eyes, I invite you to consent to say yes to God's presence and God's action in your life. In the spirit of the Blessed Virgin Mary, be it done unto us according to your word. The spirit of Jesus praying to his dad in the garden, thy will be done, thy will be done. Oh, so once again, we take our God for better or for worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, into eternity. We truly believe that our God calls each one of us by name, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, into eternity. May we never forget the wonderful covenant, marriage covenant that exists between us and our Father, Son, and Spirit, initiated by our God, and our being here this evening, O Lord, is a saying yes to spend some time with you on a little deeper level of entering into silence so that we might leave some space for you to minister to us in a special way. We thank you very much for our loved ones that have made this possible, or certain situations that they're covering at home that's given us the opportunity to come. We thank Almighty God for our faith that allows us to know there's much more to this world than meets the eye. We thank our God for the gift of love that is deep within us and that we wish to share with others. And so we thank Almighty God for this place, this sacred place set aside for retreats. And we thank Almighty God for the community, the Episcopal community that allows it to flourish, allows us to come and to enjoy for a few days, taking care of our needs, feeding us in physically, spiritually, emotionally, socially, a full service spa that is here for us. And all we have to do is consent. Consent to God's presence and God's action in our lives. And we pray this prayer the only way we truly can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome. Thank you for coming and making the time to come. Now, I want you to get it out of your system. Please stand. Talk to whoever you need to talk to and get it out of your system. Because as soon as you sit down, we're in silence. All right. Come on now. If there's somebody you need to talk to, somebody you need to wave to, someone you need to say I'm sorry to, Come on, now's the time. Now's the time. Did you get out of your system? Probably not. You can go home. All right, please be seated. Silence. Silence. Why are we afraid of it? You know, you were 9 months in your mother's womb in silence. And if life moves along as it normally moves along, you're going to be still alive and old and in silence. Because that's God's first language. According to John of the Cross. And so this weekend, you have and I have an opportunity to enter into silence. I remember having to point out to people, silence doesn't mean quiet. Quiet means nothing, there's no noise around us. I always used to chuckle going to retreat houses and doing a contemplative silent prayer retreat, and they have contemplative music playing during the meal. That's not silence. That's not silence. And I asked them once, why do you have contemplative music during a silent retreat? So people don't hear the pots and pans and the noises going on in the kitchen. You mean you can't let that go? Part of our journey is trying to get over the fact of trying to organize everything outside of us. When we got to organize things inside of us. I once gave a men's retreat, and we sat down for the first period of centering prayer, and all of a sudden it was rather obvious we could hear the clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, and all of a sudden tick, no talk. Now, being true to the centering prayer, I stayed with my eyes closed. But when I got up, I realized that one of the men had gotten up and took the battery out of the clock. This is a weekend retreat now, I immediately got up and put the battery back. And I said to them, gentlemen, if you can't let go of a tick-tock, how are you going to let go of some of the more important things that you need to let go of in your life that in a certain way is building your false self around the need to have things a certain way, a certain time? That makes sense? So, they never invited me back. But I must say that for the rest of the retreat, tick-tock, and after a while, many men came up to me and said, I didn't hear it anymore. I didn't hear it anymore. And so the wonderful reality of consenting to God's presence and action in the centering prayer is the awareness that the noises are still going on, but you finally detached yourself from them and you're not paying attention to them. Because if we had no thoughts or commentaries or images or awarenesses during the prayer, we'd be brain dead. Now, we've been accused of that, but we'll forget about that. We'll forgive that person. But the point is that silence is interior. It's an ability to stay, if you would, detached from the necessary things in order to embrace the essential things. Detach from the necessary things in order to embrace the essential things. And the essential thing here on retreat is that I hope our intention is to consent to God's presence and action in our lives and not be checking out what everybody else is doing. If there's one thing we're aware of in today's climate, everybody is looking what about everybody else is doing and not looking at their own stuff. There are two mottos going around. I think the first, make America stronger. How do you do that? Becoming saints. By becoming saints. Loving, forgiving, moving on, letting go. There's another one that says stronger together. We're already together. We're already part of the mystical body of Christ. And in an extended way, this mystical body of Christ extends even to those people who are right now our enemies. We are united. There is oneness. So we already are living that if we see it through the eyes of Christ and through the scriptures. And that's what's going to sustain us to know what's underneath everything that's sustaining everything. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
That's the challenge. That's the real challenge going on in our lives. And it's a very interesting thing to realize how we yearn to be stronger. We yearn to be united, but we're looking at the wrong places to get that nourishment. I have that song, remember, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. And so here in the silence, we want to celebrate the desire to be strong in the image and likeness of God, and the desire to celebrate the oneness that exists here in a little microcosm, if you would, on our retreat, and to honor one another by, in a certain sense, restraining from conversation that goes nowhere. Most conversation goes nowhere. It's a filler. And how many times have we opened our mouths and looked back again and wish you had died 2 seconds before that comment came out of your mouth? Because in a certain sense, we think we always have to connect by talking. We connect by presence. For years, I had formed a group called the Widows of Westfield. These were all young widows with young children. And we would talk about the experience of them losing their husbands. And they said what annoyed them the most was the people that said stupid things when they came to the funeral parlor to comfort them. And they said the best thing they could have done was just take us in their arms and hold us for a little while, give us a little kiss, and let us be. Don't say something stupid. You don't know what to say. Am I true? What do you say? The good die young. I'm 82. What did I do wrong? All right. So what are you going to say? So the beauty of the silence is in a certain sense to celebrate the God inside of you and the ability, the beginning to let go. I had a retreat in California and this person said, it's not natural to sit around at a meal and not talk to each other. That's right. But we're moving into a spiritual realm where I respect the other person so much I don't intrude on their celebration of the food that they're eating, which they're thanking God with every morsel for, that they can put a little piece of brownie in your mouth. You can go and get a selection of 6 different types of ice cream, and you can go and enjoy in a certain sense of just being there and enjoy the chewing and the experience and what have you. We're going to do Lectio Divina, you know, at the end of the centering prayer session tonight when we go over to the other room for a short period of centering prayer. But there is a guy by the name of Bob Crosby who lives out in Chicago that has a wonderful ritual that he does with teenagers as far as appreciating the food of Scripture. And I'm implying that also appreciating the food that we're getting in that dining room. So what he does is he buys little bread sticks for all the kids. Now, I once did this for a group in Texas, and I said, please get some breadsticks. Well, I didn't think they were going to go to Olive Garden. The breadsticks about 8 inches long, doused in the wonderful aroma of garlic. I'm Italian. Oh, God Almighty. How blessed that scent is. But here's what we did. Normal breadstick. Take the breadstick and bite it. Don't chew it. All right, chew it. Don't swallow it. Swallow it. And now rest as that bread nourishes your whole being on levels that you're not even aware of. Read, reflect, respond, and rest. So as you're eating, bite it. Don't chew it. Chew it, but don't swallow it. Swallow it, and then celebrate the mystery of that pork that worked its way through a system and is still working now, and you have no control over it. I mean, are you saying, oh, don't go to the left. I need you over to the right. Okay. You're going down too fast. This is a miracle of what happens when we eat. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Celebrate that miracle. And so in the silence, celebrate the ordinary things that we do extraordinarily well, but we're unconscious. Advent's coming up, and what's the key word in Advent is wake up. Lent is repent. But Advent is to wake up to the awesome gift of life and Christ coming into your life and all the ramifications of that. Wake up so that you know what you need to repent for, because you want to be more like this marvelous gift that was given to us, you know, as a gift of being made in the image and likeness of God and being children of God. So I invite you to enter into the silence. Thomas Merton has a wonderful saying. By the way, you know, his book, New Seeds of Contemplation, are unbelievable. And the topics are, to me, one of the things that when I was a little baby priest back in 1960-70, it really made me understand more what the contemplative dimension was about. But the beauty of it is to celebrate this silence and to be able in a very special way to kind of like get in touch with what you're doing moment by moment by moment by moment. And we'll talk a little more about what it means to live in the present moment. That's the only moment that anything's happening. So be present to it and enjoy that and celebrate that. And be aware of the three most important words during this retreat. Be aware of maybe the things in your life and my life, because I'm on retreat too, that need to be healed. You know, this is a time to think about it. You know, you got, I guess, 40 hours or so, maybe less, but we're together for 40 hours, you know. What needs to be healed? And if you have any doubt about there being anything that needs to be healed in your life, I will sit down with your family after the retreat and we'll make the list up. We all need something in our life that needs to be healed, because we're only human beings. And maybe in the silence, living in the present moment, we become more and more aware of the fact of things that need to be forgiven. Remember, forgiveness is not a matter of good judgment. It's a matter of self-preservation. The moment you begin to figure out whether you should forgive or not, you know at the end you have enough reasons not to, because they don't deserve it to have you forgive after what they did to you. And what needs to be celebrated more. I don't think we celebrate enough of the wonderful gifts we have and the things that are going right. The people around us that journey with us. You know, my mother used to say to me, when we used to have a little disagreement, she says, you know, I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances in spite of you. And I said back to her, Mom, I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances in spite of you. You know, we're not a gift to live with, you know. I hope you realize that. And once you realize you're no gift to live with, you become very compassionate about dealing with the other person, for goodness sakes. Thank God people put up with me. I can't understand why people in the office in Butler say, you know, sometimes it's good when you're not around. Well, I took that they wanted a little more time for themselves. God forbid if it was my presence that caused any agita in a life. How could that be? How could that be? So live in the present moment, in the silence, which doesn't mean quiet. It means having that inner space to be able to truly be present to what's going on in your life. And this is a golden opportunity, really, to do that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Please, it's a gift. It's a gift. What does it profit a person to go on retreat and nobody know everybody on retreat but don't know themselves any better? What does it profit a person to go on retreat and know everybody else but don't know themselves any better? Yeah. All right. You should have all received on your table, and if you're not at a table, maybe you didn't get it, the leaflet on the method of centering prayer. We're going to look at it for a while. If you don't have it, come on up. Come on up. What's that program, you know, that... Here, take it. See what we got. Anybody need it? Hi, John. How are you? I'll take whatever you need. Everybody, make sure you have it. Okay. I want to spend a little time. Oh, by the way, our retreat, I'm excited about our retreat. Because as the write-up said, I've never given this one before. Because this is the fruit of another retreat that I was on. I was so impressed with the scripture readings and how it was like a mosaic of the what it means to put on the mind of Christ in contemporary form. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. My image of doing retreats in my 80s is this. When I was younger, I could tell you every moment what was going to come out of my mouth and what have you. Okay. I picture myself as a little kid with a bunch of playing blocks in front of me. I got all my playing blocks. Remember those little playing blocks? Those old timers, you know, you remember? Remember that? We would pile them up. Did you ever do that? Pile them up. And then when they got up, you knocked them down again and what have you. I don't know what God and I are going to do with this, but we're going to play with them. And at the end, we'll see what happens. And I'm just excited as you are to find out what's going to happen. And it's providential that it's being filmed, because this will either be a classic to remember for years or maybe an example of what happens when you don't dot your I's and cross your T's, okay? So we'll see what's going to happen. Fair enough? And that's life, isn't it? I mean, how much do we control? You get up each day, you have your playing blocks. What are they? The things you hope to accomplish that day. At the end, many times you never get around to it. And you go to bed and you feel bad that you didn't accomplish it. Well, you know, God's work are the interruptions of life. Not our plans, it's the interruptions. That's where God works in our life. When we get surprised. I like being surprised, don't you? airplane is delayed because of mechanical difficulties, will be taken off in an hour. I watch grown people around me having a fit that their plane isn't taken up on time because of mechanical difficulties. When do you want to hear that the plane's having mechanical difficulties? On the ground, not at 45,000 feet. We're doing very good, but we're not going to make it because we're having mechanical difficulties. I'm so glad that someone noticed that way, and I can take a deep breath and we'll go to plan B. See, the life of a contemplative is you have to know it's plan B, plan C, plan E. When it gets to W, that's when you have to really worry. But know that there's options and there's that flexibility to kind of move with it. All right, let's take a look at this. These are the brand new centering prayer. You like them?
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I'm going to see just how far I want to go into this with you. Okay. Now, the method. It's a method. It's not a technique. We don't do it for any particular reason other than to consent. So if you're into the prayer and you're trying to massage it, that I want to go into this prayer because I want to be quiet, I want to rest, you know, I want to have a break or what have you, you're in a certain sense bastardizing the beauty of the prayer, which means it's a prayer really just to say, just to consent. That's all, to consent. So if you sit at prayer for 20 minutes and you're being barraged, but you still sit there and gently return to your sacred symbol, you've done the prayer properly. You've consented and allowed God to do what God needs to do in your life. The only way you interrupt it is by getting up and saying, this ain't going anywhere. Well, isn't that a shame? It's not going the way you want it to go. Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear God, you poor thing. All right? Let it go, for goodness sakes. We're there to consent to God's prayer. Not that it's not. It can be very difficult and hard. I'm not minimizing that. But when you have these expectations, you know, what are you going to do for me today, God? Or I'm going to love you when you make me feel good, but when you don't make me feel good, I'm not feeling good in this prayer, I'm not going to finish the prayer. You sit there. You love the person. You're there to consent. And my image is, you know, I love to have God wash my feet. You know, he's washing my feet. He's taking care of me. He's allowing me to receive rather than always give. I have this image sometimes that God chases after us with the basin and the towel, and we're running around like crazy, and God's saying, sit down. You're going, no, I can't. I have to get this done. And he goes, are you the fourth person in the Blessed Trinity? You go, sit down for goodness sakes, you know? Spend some time with me. And don't you ever, ever say you don't have the time. When I celebrated my 70th birthday 12 years ago, I had my friend, a accountant, figured out how many minutes I had lived. Oh, my God, don't use that as an excuse when you see God. I didn't have the time. You just didn't make the time. You got the time. That makes sense? I get it? Amen? We got a lot of time. We got a lot of time. The method of centering prayer, the prayer of consent. To say yes to God's presence and God's action in our lives. It's saying yes. I have a little article for you written by Gail Fitzpatrick Koppler. I'll have it out for you to take tomorrow morning. But it's a beautiful way she expresses it. Every time we return to our sacred word, we say no to ourselves and yes to God. We say no to our plans and yes to God's plans. We say no to our preconceived notions about way things should be, and we say yes to God's notion about way the things should be. Marvelous way. No, Yes. No. Yes. And please remember, whatever's coming up in the prayer is going out. It's going out if you let it go out. Our bodies have a natural desire to get rid of waste. It does it in so many different ways. Because if it holds on to the waste, the human body will then begin to become diseased. And so as that's true of the human body, it's true of our spiritual body. Whatever's coming up is going out. Whatever's coming up is going out. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever's coming up is going out. So we gently return to our sacred word. Now, what are we consenting to? We're consenting to four things. The first is that we're wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. You've got to embrace that. The journey has to start with that. That we are basically good. All evidence to the contrary, notwithstanding, we are basically good, made in the image and likeness of God, children of God. No one can take that away from us. No one. For some of our friends who are in the Protestant denominations, I would have to tender that a little bit. We are basically good because Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for everybody. He wasn't on the cross looking down saying, I'm only died for those folks, but not for these folks. That's the awesome, unconditional love of God for us. But can you embrace the fact that you are a child of God? Can you embrace the fact that you're made in the image and likeness of God? Can you embrace the fact that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Can you embrace the fact that, you know, you live now, not I, but Christ lives in you? Can you embrace the fact that in the beginning it was God, and anything that you had, the source of whatever thing you have is from God? Can you embrace that and celebrate that? I'll never forget a mass by Duke Ellington, which he wrote for the Episcopal Church in San Francisco. Duke Ellington, the jazz guy, you know, so he was very spiritual, but not religious. And so in many ways, I don't know what that means, but people say that because you're still connected with God, you know, but they like to say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Okay. It's another way of saying God got you anyway. So just relax about it. So he had this wonderful mass, you know, and the opening hymn was this baritone singing at the top of his lungs, in the beginning God, and you could hear the jazz, in the beginning God, in the beginning God. I was sitting there saying, okay, 18 times. He's saying, in the beginning, God. Well, get on to the next line, for goodness sakes. Is that all you did? In the beginning, God. Wasn't it powerful how quickly we forget, in the beginning, God. It's all God. In the beginning, God. Wow. And we are made in the image and likeness of God. A child of God. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm proud of saying yes to that, aren't you? My goodness, I don't want to say yes to the fact I'm just a product of some gas. I like in the beginning God. Beginning God. The second thing that we're saying yes to when we consent is the fact that with God's help, all things are possible in our lives. As we mature and grow and everything else, we've been through a lot in our journeys. And we have said yes to God in a lot of situations. Sometimes not that easy, but we've said it. But that's our second aspect of our consent. With God's help, all things are possible. And with God's help, all things are possible. My dad used to say to us kids when we were like complaining about something, you know, he would say, okay, God just slammed the door in your face. Are you going to keep looking at the door? Don't you realize that the force of that door being slammed in your face has opened two doors behind you if you would change the direction in which you're looking for happiness? Oh. And how many of you in your life have had dead-end street situations that you thought it was the end? And God bless you, look at you now. It opened a whole new avenue of existence for you. Am I right? You're shaking. It was a terrible thing, but it opened a whole new door, a whole new experience. It wasn't easy. I've sat through it with many of you in a certain sense like you. People have sat with me at those situations where you wonder, why would God do this to me and all that stuff. You know, when we get into the pity parties, you know, it's kind of hilarious after a while, you know. It reminds me of, I have very little patience with teenagers. People say to me, why don't you give a retreat for teenagers? I can't stand them. I think they're spoiled brats. I'd rather give retreats to the parents that have to put up with these teenagers who don't appreciate anything. Well, they're going through a stage. But still the point, it's no fun to be told you never did anything for me, you know. So I always like to say, you know, the important point is to know that with God's help, all things are possible. And I think you can give witness to that in your own lives. There's always two doors that open when one gets closed. Always. If you're aware and you're willing to let go of your preconceived notions about what's going on in your life. So when you gently return to your sacred word and you consent to God's presence, it's certain you're celebrating that. The third consent is everything is gift. Everything is gift. This could be a tough one because there's all sorts of ramifications to this one. But everything we have is gift, and everything we have we're going to let go of. And our whole journey in life is letting go of not the object, but our attachment to that particular object. We get attached to things. Then as we mature on a spiritual journey, we detach from them. We still love them, but we don't make them our God. We don't make them in a certain sense, if I don't have this, I'm not going to be happy type of thing. So we learn to let go. And life does that to us. One of my favorite stories is Itzhak Perlman, the violinist. I love this story. I'll tell you over and over again. I don't know a parable better than this one. In the 1980s, he was a victim of polio, if you're familiar with the violinist. He would drag himself out on the stage and sit down there, and then he would give his presentation. In the middle of one of them at Carnegie Hall, one of the strings broke. Everybody wondered what he was going to do. He paused a moment, collected himself, told the conductor to continue, and he finished the concert improvising on three strings. Unheard of! Unheard of! Crowd went wild. And here's the zinger. Ready? Told him to quiet down and said, the challenge in life is to make music with what you have left. The challenge in life is to make music with what you have left. I've taken that as my mantra. As I get older, I hope I can live it. And here's how I image it for myself. Here's Carlo Rico playing his violin. That sounds more like Duke Ellington, doesn't it? But okay, I'm playing along. Bing! Okay, that's one string gone. Bing! Okay, that's, oh God, two strings gone. Bing! Oh my. Bing! Make music. Just think if that was our attitude. Make music with what we have left. I'm not minimizing sometimes the struggles, but many times we make things worse by thinking about what we lost rather than think of what we got, and you make music with what you have. We get an amen?
Amen.
That's so important. And that's the third consent. And Father Thomas likes to use the word diminishment. We're diminishing. What's diminishing? Our true self? No, our false self. There's space. There's a spaciousness now because it doesn't have a lot of clutter. One of the humorous side effects of intensive centering prayer retreats is a lot of people after the retreat go home and look at their house. They see all these treasures on the shelves and this memento and that memento. And the place is cluttered. And they start uncluttering their house, which is a wonderful symbol of uncluttering themselves too. God bless the airlines. They're wonderful spiritual teachers. They charge for excess baggage. You see what people do, how much stuff they have? You know, there's always Target wherever you're going, for goodness sakes. My God, how much do you have to, you know, get? So the third consent is letting go of what's necessary at times, but never letting go of what's essential. And the fourth guideline is our desire for transformation. Lord Jesus, love me passionately into the transforming union. And with your help, help me to love you passionately into the transforming union. That you will be in me and I will be in you, the promise that you made at the Last Supper, this wonderful oneness that's there with our God. To the point that you can say, I live now, not I, but Christ lives in me. That's our journey. And I think sometimes in my own humorous way that the Last Judgment is going to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sitting there and with the Blessed Mother, and they're going to look down at, say, here I come, or you come, okay, there you are, and we're looking at you, and Mary says, I think she has our nose, don't you? I notice the nose. Yeah. Yeah, I see. Oh no, I think we has a little bit of, what do you think, Father? What do you think? Yeah, I think I see the chin. The chin's like looks like us. We start looking like our God in the sense of our presence. You've met people that are very normal. And yet you have a sense that there's something in them that is unique and godlike and precious. That's what it's about. The Pope recently said, catechism will never make you holy, but prayer will. When you want to have a relationship that's not wrapped around a lot of rules and regulations, and the rules and regulations are a means towards that relationship. They're not the end result. We were not called to be morally good. We were called to be Christ-like. And that's a whole different ballgame, which includes being morally good, but putting on the mind of Christ. And that's what we're about in this retreat, to talk a little bit about that. So every time in the centering prayer that you become engaged, notice, not aware, because you're aware of a lot, engaged with a thought, an image, a commentary, a feeling, a noise outside of you, whatever it might be, you know. Ever so gently return to your sacred word and you kind of disconnect and you let it go. Every time you're aware, you just let it go. If you get engaged, then you pray your sacred word, consenting to God's presence and action, and you allow the thought, the commentary, the feeling, letting it go, letting it go, letting it go. And every time we begin to set up a committee to examine what's going on, right away you're in your head, and your head isn't what your God wants. The God wants your heart, not your head. Because love is foolish. You really love someone, you're silly. You know, it has to be a matter of the heart. So that's how powerful a consent is. Celebrate it. And if nothing else goes on in the prayer, it doesn't matter. As long as you consent to what's going on, and you let it come, and you let it go. You let it come, and you let it go. Did you ever hold back a sneeze? Isn't that a wonderful experience? Next thing, your ear's all clogged up and everything. And I could use some other examples, but we'll just let it go for your imagination. You know, it's time to let certain things go in one's life. When you pray, go to your inner room. Close the door. Pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't be like the pagans that think that you have to multiply your prayers in order to be heard. Your Father in heaven already knows what you need. The other week I had a retreat close to home in Watchung, New Jersey, Mount St. Mary's. And we were doing some chairing, and one of the sisters on staff at the prayer house there, this will be my closing thought, she was told that one of the sisters was dying. Please keep her in prayer. So Mary Jo went into the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, and she's going, "Dear Lord, please help Sister, I'll say Meredith, please help. You know she's dying and she needs your help in this hour of need. Please help her. Give her the strength that she needs." And she kept repeating it over and over again. And she's saying to herself, "You know, I'm getting tired, but you know, I said I would pray for her." And all of a sudden, she she got a little nudge. Do you ever get a nudge from God? You ever get a nudge from God, an insight that gets you? I hope you have. If you're aware, I mean, we're going to talk about levels of awareness, but if you're aware, okay? And all of a sudden, she imagined, thought, whatever it was, God said to her, "Sister, I know why you're here. Keep quiet. I know why you're here. Trust me." I invite you to close your eyes for a few moments. You've heard what I've had to say, and I mean this. More important, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about the things you heard me share with you about silence and about consent? about our commitment to silence for the rest of the retreat. And our deep trust in the power of consenting during our centering prayer periods. About our commitment to silence and the power of our consent during our periods of centering prayer and throughout the retreat. Pray this prayer that the only way we truly can, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.